This is Discover Your Dog, the show that demystifies your dog's behavior so you can get the very best results from your dog training. This show is brought to you by FamilyDogFusion.com. For professional advice, dog training tips, ebooks, and a video to teach your dog how to walk on a leash, go to FamilyDogFusion.com and sign up for your free membership today.
Dog lovers, thank you for joining me. Years ago, I did a couple of shows on my most important dog training rules. I call it my 10-to-1 rule. I go over this rule on the very first day I meet with a client, and again on the very last day I meet with that client. Today, I want to revisit the 10-to-1 rule and talk about how this applies not only to your dog training, also to general life.
We would love for you to join our community of dog lovers. Log on to Facebook and search for our business page, Family Dog Fusion. There you will get updates as to what's going on with our dog-loving family and friends from all over the world. See events, our travels, or just information that you may need about the podcast, our book, or the new products we'll be releasing. That's Family Dog Fusion on Facebook. See you there.
This is Discover Your Dog, the show that demystifies your dog's crazy behavior so you can get the absolute best from your dog training. I am Benny Copeland, trainer of people, behaviorist to the dogs, and just like you, the listener, a dog lover. Most of you out there know what a ratio is, right? It's like when I'm mixing a drink. I put 3 parts Coke and 1 part whiskey. That's a 3-to-1 ratio. Now, I'm a math person. And what I excelled at in school, both high school and college, and why I like to play poker and other strategy type games is because I love math. I also apply many math applications to dog training. Now, here's the kicker. I thought everyone loved math, and it took me more than a few years to realize, nope, that's not the case. Back in the early shows, the first 50 or so, many of my rules and postulates that I talked about involved math. And it's just what it made it easy for me. Now, I'm that guy that maps out my training routine before starting every routine. And I actually was going to the gym with a friend, and I think he actually stopped coming because I was so structured about what exercises we were going to do and how many reps and what weight we were on and things like that, because that's just what I do. So I even did a show way back about ticking off the number of times you correct your dog on a calendar. Now, let's see how I've changed my aptitude right after this.
Do you love what you hear in all of these podcasts? Does what Benny say just make sense to you? Well, if you want a more in-depth understanding of what it means when we say demystify your dog's behavior, then you need to go to Amazon.com and get Benny's book, Family Dog Fusion. Yes, we named the book after the website because we wanted things to be simple to remember. And most of all, we really want to fuse your dog into your family. In these few pages, Benny has decoded dog behavior. He's found a way to make what he has learned over the past 20 years of his life make sense when it comes to communicating with your dog. Also, the great thing about this book is you can mark up the pages, highlight the important stuff, bend the heck out of the spine even if you want to. It's yours. So we suggest to do all those things and then give it away and buy a new book when that happens. Family Dog Fusion on Amazon.com. Get your copy today.
Just recently, I was working with a dog lover in their home, and we were wrapping up about 3 months of training their pup. In my last lesson, I go over the process of getting your dog trained off the leash. I talk about the timeline, and I go over what I call my 3 rules of consistency. As a matter of fact, I've done 4 shows on this. Episode 55 is the process or timeline for training your dog off the leash. And episodes 56, 57, and 58 are those 3 rules explained separately. I'm not really sure how well they are understood in the general public, but it is a good reinforcement and reminder to my clients. Anyway, as I was talking to this particular client, I started to realize how I reinforce my 10-to-1 rule at the very beginning of training and at the very end. This, to me, is how important this rule is, not just for my clients, but for you, the dog lover, as well. The 10-to-1 rule is as follows. For every one time you correct your dog for anything, you must praise your dog 10 times for doing the thing you want in that situation. This is the first rule I talk about in training. In my 3 rules of consistency, the 3rd rule states, if the command you gave is unsuccessful, before you can do that command again, you have to pick up the leash and do that command at least 10 times before trying that command again without touching the leash. Now, this is in the process of going off the leash, so there are times you're going to ask your dog to do a command without having your hands on the leash, or maybe your dog is off leash already. And again, that's where that rule applies. So if you ask a command and the dog doesn't respond immediately in the way you want, you have to pick up the leash and practice it 10 times on the leash. And again, this is the very last lesson and the last rule I talk about in training. Now, both of these rules sound simple enough, but when you start breaking down the rules, you see why I teach the way that I teach. Most of us want it quick and simple. We are a society of instant gratification. I definitely include myself in this quote. The problem is that learning takes a lifetime. One of my favorite things when I hear someone say, you learn something new every day, is to respond by saying, that's what days are for. This is a reminder to myself that every day should be a learning experience. I strive to grow every day. Raising a family is no different. There is no instant family. Just add water and poof. And a dog is part of your family, right? I'm going to go over each of these rules and how they should apply to your everyday life with your dog. In the first rule, you first have to know what you want your dog to do. If you're having trouble with this concept, I have many shows that can teach you how to come up with the wording. Remember, the statement has to be in the affirmative. That means if you're using words like don't, stop, quit, or without in that statement, you are not speaking in the affirmative. Again, if there is a specific behavior you're looking to fix, go to one of my many shows that I have on that behavior, and I help you create the statement. Now that you know how you want your dog to behave, you have to set up situations to get your dog to make decisions. All of my POV shows, stands for point of view, are about specific behaviors. Part one is always about coming up with the affirmative phrase. And part three is always the homework. You have to do the homework. Even when you think your dog has learned the behavior you want, you still have to do the homework. By setting your dog up to make a choice, you start actually looking for your dog to make a choice. I had a client whose dog was really bad about jumping up on people, especially at the door. Each week, when I visited, I would hear him talking to the dog as they approached. He would say, okay, Max, you're going to stay on all fours, right? You're going to make good choices and stay on all fours. I would hear him inside, and he would continue to praise his dog once the door was open. He would let his dog greet me, all the while talking and praising Max while he was on all fours. The moment Max jumped up, he would quickly correct and go all the way back down the hall. Again, as he approached, and Max was very excited and pulling on the leash, yet his owner was still praising him as long as he was on all fours. After a few weeks of this, Max rarely got corrected at all. He would constantly get praised for staying on all fours. Now, why do you think the owner was saying all of this to Max? Do you think Max really understood all that banter? No. The reason the owner was saying it was so that he himself was looking for Max to make the good choice of staying on all fours rather than waiting for him to jump up. See, this is where the problem lies with training your dog. Most people rarely see or know what they want from their dog. They only know what they don't want and what they want to fix. That means when you're the dog lover, Begin to approach the door. You are saying nothing at all to your dog. You're just waiting on him to be bad. Then you only react to that bad decision, hence only giving attention to the bad decision and nothing else. Usually yelling and pushing your dog down or grabbing your dog, and anything that becomes attention for the behavior creates the behavior. Now, think about this. For every one of those times you corrected your dog, you now have to praise your dog 10 times for making the right decision or the decision that you want. This means that once you learn what you want from your dog, then you're going to have to make up for all of those times you didn't know what you want and just corrected or reacted to your dog's bad behavior. This is why practice is so important. What you're doing by practicing is making your brain start to look for choices rather than waiting on and expecting bad behavior. Most of our brains are already on that waiting for the bad thing to happen pathway. And that's what makes it so difficult. Think of all the things in the world you already know and say to yourself, bad things happen in threes. Wow, things are going so good. Knock on wood. What goes up must come down. And then the biggie, life sucks, and then you die. And many, many, many more. Our brain is trained to wait for the bad stuff and then try our best to fix it. This is how you are looking at your dog. I had a client recently say that she wished she had hired me 15 years ago. She said that if she had put the way of thinking that I teach into practice with her kids, she may have been able to save a ton of money just from therapy sessions alone. Now, at the end of my lessons, it's usually a 2 to 3 month process, I am talking to the owner about how to get their dog to behave off the leash as well, and it is a process. With the practice you are doing while training on the leash, you should now be noticing when your dog is making decisions, good or bad, and responding appropriately in that moment. Every person is different in the level of training they expect from their dog. I have a much higher standard than most, but I have worked with a few people that are much more strict than I am. Most people, though, are not. Most people just want their dog to be a fun part of the family, a pleasant experience for others, and good in all outside social situations. The final rule I talk about is just that. If you give your dog a command off the leash and your dog does not react in the way you want immediately, what do you do? Most people will repeat the command, maybe a little louder. Maybe they'll start chasing their dog or even go to a more extreme means to get their dogs to comply. Some people will motivate by using a toy or a treat, or they'll just start begging their dog, or they'll even get on the ground and just downright grovel. In all of these things, it's okay. But is this how you want your dog to do for you in every situation? Is this how you always want your dog to react and respond to you in order to do something for you or to respond to what you ask? I know I don't. Now, this is a practice in awareness. When I first start training with an owner, I ask them to make their dog do a sit. I give them instructions, and then I tell them they can only say the sit once and then wait 2 seconds. And if the dog's still standing, put the dog into the sit position if he didn't do it on his own. When the owner takes the leash and then tells the dog to sit, they almost always repeat the command every time. I will actually count how many times they say it. Then I'll give them a little more instructions, talk to them a little bit, and then I ask the question, so how many times did you say sit? More than 50% of the time, the owner will say once. I've had people repeat the command more than 5 times and still answer me that they only said it once. I had a lady one time This was so funny. She got so mad at me that I had told her she repeated the command three times that she asked me to leave. She was so unaware of how she was communicating with her dog, and she was willing to fight for that unawareness. She said she couldn't work with someone that called her a liar. And here's the thing, I wasn't lying. And this was the third time I had called her out for repeating the command. She still believed every time. You see, sometimes you're so convinced that you're doing the right thing, and then when it's pointed out that you're not, you still want to fight to be wrong. Which brings me to an important question. How do you know when you need to practice with your dog? How do you know when your dog is outside the range of what you're willing to accept as good behavior? Trust your feelings. Now, if Beans or Oz is outside and I open the door and call them inside, typically they come. Sometimes not. If not, I will step out on the back porch and call them again, this time a little bit louder. And they come every time. I'm very okay with this. This is a level in which I'm willing to allow my dogs to behave. But there is no third time. Both Oz and Beans have learned that I will not call them the third time. So how do you know that you've not worked with your dog enough on a certain behavior or a certain command? If you get that feeling in your chest that wants to explode, if you get a sharper tone than you normally talk, if you start to feel frustrated with your dog, then you need to put the leash on your dog and work on that thing at least 10 times before ever putting your dog or yourself in that same position. Anything you do once or twice does not create a habit or a behavior. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, you will be continually let down. In other words, if I kept yelling at my dogs over and over from the porch, getting louder and angrier with my voice, and even stomping and making loud noises, and they still did not come, I'm just teaching them not to listen to me. Even when I have that really angry tone, that high-pitched voice, it still means nothing. You and your dog should have a great bond and a great relationship. By learning to see your dog make choices and then reacting appropriately in the moment of the choice in a loving, pleasing, positive way when that choice is made, you'll be creating that your dog looks to you whenever there is a choice to be made. If you feel frustrated with the results of your dog's behavior, take the time to practice and work on the command or behavior. Do this a minimum of 10 times on the leash before ever allowing your dog into that situation again. Practice does not make perfect. It just makes it easier for you to learn how to get what you want from your dog and how to get your dog to behave in every situation, and to give your dog an opportunity to get loving, pleasing, positive results from you when they make the good choices. In summary, today you got my personal perspective on why I think the 10-to-1 rule is the most important rule in training your dog. You discovered there are many ways to apply this rule not just to your dog training, but also in your life. You also learned that seeing your dog make a choice is a product of good training and awareness. Thank you.
If you would like to contact us, we have a link on our website, familydogfusion.com. We would love to hear your opinion and we value your feedback. So again, familydogfusion.com. Or if you just want to send us a direct message, you can do that via email. It goes to familydogfusion@gmail.com. Your comments are important to us and help us with future shows. Thank you for listening to our show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast and share it with your friends and family. Also, go ahead and give us a 5-star review because it helps others find our show. And frankly, we just love to read them. This show is produced by Eric Janer, and show notes are created by Carissa Dolan. Thank you to all of the Family Dog Fusion team and our affiliate sponsor, Healthy Paws Pet Insurance. For your free pet insurance quote, go to familydogfusion.com/insurance. And go to familydogfusion.com and sign up for your free membership today.
Be impeccable with your dog.